Welcome to My Mind, My Voice, stories of people from around the world. See yourself in our stories.
We acknowledge the Ngunnawal and Ngambri people, the traditional custodians on the land on which we meet, and pay our respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land. We extend this respect to the First Nations people around the world.
Imagine being 25 years old and having already experienced sexual assault and abortions, suicidal thoughts, self-harm, and living with depression, anxiety, complex PTSD, and trauma. I'm Aisha, and this is my story. There have been four times in my life that have marked major points in regards to my mental health: 2011, 2016, 2019, and 2021. 2011. This, I guess, the beginning of when I realized it was all going downhill. I was 13 and had started boarding school in South Africa. At the time, my parents and siblings were still living in Switzerland, and it was the first time I'd been away from them this long. I went home maybe once or twice a year. The start of my high school career was incredibly difficult for me because I had to confront a lot of things I never had to before, the first being my racial and cultural identities. Having attended a school in Switzerland where there was about 5 black kids in my entire grade, I guess you could say that that was my normal. And then now going to a new school where obviously the lack of black students was no longer a thing, I ended up feeling like an outsider. At the time, I couldn't understand why, because I didn't look different to anyone. But as people kept pointing out, I was different. And for the first time, I felt like I didn't belong anywhere. I probably should mention that I do come from a biracial background. My mom is Malaysian and my dad is Masuto. I didn't feel Asian enough and I didn't feel black enough. And I kept being told that I acted like a white girl, yet I didn't belong there either. I felt, and still do sometimes, disconnected from my racial and cultural identities. Now combine this with being away from my family and other family issues, and well, you had a girl that was ready to take her life. It got really bad. I was crying all the time. I had suicidal thoughts. I felt incredibly numb, and I just couldn't focus. It got to a point where I started seeing the school counselor, and the school nurse wanted to put me on antidepressants. And of course, in South Africa and going to a boarding school, this was a normal thing because they were responsible for our well-being. Now, if you know ethnic parents, depression and antidepressants aren't familiar concepts. I was told that family matters shouldn't be discussed outside of the family, but where was I supposed to go if family was part of the reason why I was feeling this way? And taking antidepressants? You can forget about it. I did keep seeing the school counselor for a while, and for the next 4 years, I kind of just locked everything away and, as you probably can say, faked it till I made it. 2016. What a year. I had escaped the clutches of high school and ran right into the arms of university. It was my first year at the University of Cape Town, and I was so excited for my fresh start. I had made some friends and ended up dating someone. The issue of wanting to belong was still there, but I had hoped things would change this. But unfortunately, cue my ex. I don't blame him for everything. I did have a lot of other things happening at the same time, but he did play a pretty big part, that's for sure. I still remember the first day we met, the first time I found out he was cheating on me, and the string of lies, gaslighting, and emotional abuse, and what I sometimes still have trouble accepting, sexual assault, that took place for 3 years. In fact, sometimes I have trouble remembering, let alone believing, that a lot of the things that happened, happened. I thought about leaving many times, but my self-esteem was gone. I believed that he was the only one that could ever love me and that this was as good as it got. I had isolated myself from my friends. They were there the first time he cheated, but it kind of felt like they had given up hope when I stayed. And in a way, I couldn't blame them. It was hard to witness your friend destroy herself. The suicidal thoughts came back, and this time it came with physical self-harm, although that didn't last too long. I think it scared me too much at the time. I did leave Cape Town for uni in Canberra in 2017, and we did long distance. But in 2018, I fell pregnant. He was still in South Africa, and I was in Canberra, and I decided to get an abortion. I was alone. I didn't feel much at the time. I think I knew logically I couldn't support a child, let alone two. As my doctor pointed out, she thought it was twins. But it wasn't until a year or two later when it really hit me and I started grieving. I had always wanted a big family, but after the abortion, I decided that being a mother was no longer something I wanted to do or could do. And it wasn't just the abortion that made me realize this, but also the fact that I was scared my child would either inherit my mental illnesses or it would suffer because of my mental illnesses. It wasn't until early 2019 that I left the relationship, but by then I didn't recognize who I was anymore. I want to say that things got better once I moved to Canberra. I really hoped that they would, but they didn't. At this point, it just felt like I was getting hit with everything the universe had to give, and every time I thought it was over and I could actually get up and dust myself, it just came back and knocked me over again. Now, I've heard a lot of people say that this is life and you're gonna get knocked down a lot, so I should just suck it up. Or because I'm young, my experiences are nothing and will only get harder, so I need to toughen up. 2019. After stumbling for the last few years, I once again had high hopes that things would get better. And for a while they did. I got involved in a lot of extracurricular activities. I became more integrated in the Canberra African community and started feeling a little less isolated. But that didn't last too long. Things with my family was getting worse, and I think some of it definitely had to do with the fact that my mental health was something that was ignored and invalidated. It's pretty upsetting when a part of you is constantly dismissed. It just added to the feeling of loneliness. Uni wasn't going the way I had hoped it would. My attendance started decreasing, my marks weren't good, and it got to a point where I was faking my marks for my parents. And once again, cue another boy. I ended up seeing someone for almost a year, and looking back now, it was no different than my 3-year relationship. The biggest difference, though, was that when he sexually assaulted me, I could no longer lock away my previous memories and experiences. For a while, I couldn't remember what had happened, and when I did, I either gaslit myself or blamed myself. I believed that it didn't happen, I was overreacting, I didn't report it, so I was told that it was my fault that it would happen to another person, and no one would believe me if I did report it. I'd already been dealing with a lot at this point, but this broke me. Not only was I confronted with what had happened, but it triggered past memories I'd locked away. Moments I didn't realize I was being assaulted by other men, and actually realizing that my terrifying interactions with men started when I was followed and harassed at the age of 11. That moment with my ex marked the very fast descent into self-harming behaviors, severe depression, complex PTSD, anxiety, suicidal ideations, self-hatred, memory loss, and a bunch of other trauma responses and mental illnesses that were probably too many to list. 2021. I'm still dealing with everything I'd mentioned before. I guess the only difference is that now I'm on antidepressants and they're finally working for me, and I have a therapist that I absolutely adore. I would say I'm definitely more aware, but sometimes I wonder if that's a good thing, because I still find myself sometimes engaging in self-destructive behavior, like self-isolating. I will say that it's helped me slowly come to terms with the mental illnesses that I have. I sometimes find myself being a little kinder to myself and not feeling as guilty about the feelings or thoughts that I have, particularly with suicide. And when I say that, I just mean that I don't mentally beat myself up for having these thoughts. I just accept them and acknowledge that they're there, and I just don't act on them. I'm still hesitant to say that my life and the way I feel now is so much better than it was previously. I think I'm just in a place where I'm slowly getting comfortable with feeling and sitting in everything that exists in my brain. I'm still trying to move past some self-harming behaviors. I've created a new meme page, and I also learned how to longboard. Sometimes I have days where I want to drown in my depression, and I guess that's also because that's what I'm used to doing and feeling. But there are days where I can function. I'm lucky enough to have friends who are sympathetic and supportive of what I'm living with, but also can be the ones to drag me to places and things. But above everything, I'm especially lucky to have my siblings, my brother and my sister, who are the biggest reasons why I'm still pushing through every single day. And the days when that isn't enough, I still turn to little things, like, for example, my extracurricular activities. You may have been hoping for something a little inspirational, but I don't think that would be an accurate representation of what it can be like to live with a mental illness. At the end of the day, we're all just trying to make it through this messed up thing we call life, and most of the time it can feel like you're drowning in that darkness. But there are times when there'll be light that shines through, and I think that's when you really need to embrace it and not ignore it. I share my story because I'm tired of being made to feel as if I have to suffer in silence.
If you or yourself are dealing with a mental health concern and would like some support, please remember to call Lifeline on 13 11 14. If you are needing interpreting or translating services, please call 131 450, say your language, then say Lifeline, 13 11 14, wait for a connection and you'll be connected to somebody who can support you. If it is an emergency, please remember to call 000, and once again, if you require interpreting or translating services, please just say interpreter when connecting. All of this information and more on help services and resources within the ACT can be found on MEAC's website. That's meact.org.au.